Joining us for this edition of Track Record on Share Radio is the Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service, knowing how to handle a complaint, how to build customer relationships, and how to delve deeper into our own psychology in the business world. She's Jo Corson, and she joins us on this edition as we rattle through her CV and her musical choices too. Jo, welcome to Share Radio. Maybe let's get started by talking a little bit about your own background.
And it's great to be here today. So thank you for such a warm welcome.
It's quite all right. Now, tell me about where life essentially started for Jo Corson. Were you a spirited and ambitious type of girl in your school days?
I probably so, if I was truly honest, if I think about it. I was very fortunate, had a very strong family upbringing. My mum and dad were very instrumental in terms of my kind of work ethic and focus, but also about belief. And I was very lucky because I was brought up in a family with lots of love and lots of kind of, well, have a go attitude, which I think is really, really important. So I certainly have come from a family where, you know, conversation is really welcome, debate is really welcome, and having an opinion was also very important.
What did your parents do?
Oh, okay. So quite a range. But you know, formerly, my dad was a policeman and then worked for MI5. And my mum in her early days actually worked for GCHQ. So and various other roles. I think she even ran a betting office, actually, to be completely honest. So quite eclectic background and mix. But I think actually probably one of my overwhelming parts of my childhood was probably the role that my mum and dad always had, as I said, about encouraging me to do things, but also about consequences. So as a fairly headstrong individual, my dad always knew not to say no to me. But he always used to kind of say, that's fine, Jo, you can do anything you want, but just remember there's consequences for everything that you do. Mm. And that used to make me pause and think. And I think that is really important in terms of understanding that everything that you do, you know, you have an impact. And you know, thinking that through a little bit is quite important. And that's been, stood me in great stead for the, I guess, my working life.
With that as your grounding, this idea of always giving pause before you jump on in, what were your early ambitions yourself?
Oh, gosh. I suppose a mixture. Always wanted, you know, I've always liked people and I've always wanted to try and make a difference, you know, and do something that was worthwhile. And people fascinate me, how we interact, how much we need each other. So I knew I always wanted to do something with people. I've always enjoyed working with people. I couldn't work on my own. I think that would be horrific. So doing something with a team, all of those sorts of kind of things. And if I was honest, I've always liked being the leader, which you know, has its pros and cons. But certainly, you know, trying to make a difference, I guess, is the big thing for me.
Were you the kind of girl who was a school prefect, that kind of thing? Was this evident early on?
Yes, sadly, yes. So, you know, head girl, those sorts of things. Lots of amateur dramatics, all of those sorts of things, yes, yeah.
Your first choice on Track Record is A Little Less Conversation from the marvellous, the peerless Elvis Presley. Tell me why you've chosen this.
Because I just think this is such a fun song. So it's incredibly upbeat. It's very energetic. But also, I think, you know, sometimes we procrastinate. Sometimes we debate endlessly. And just occasionally, you just got to get on and do it. So when I think about this song, I think about energy and driving forward and just doing it.
A little less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovin' night and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! A little less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Shut your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on. Don't procrastinate, don't articulate. Girl, it's getting late. You just sit and wait around.
Elvis Presley. A little less conversation, a little more action guaranteed. It's the first choice on Track Record of Joe Corson, who joins us on this edition. Joe is Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And Joe, we will talk about what you do at the Institute and some recent very key research that you've been carrying out across the UK. But before all of that, how did your working life begin?
Oh, so very fortunate. Went to university, had a great time at university, met some fabulous people. And I guess after that, I went to work in the world of insurance. And again, you know, I was very lucky because I was given some great training and development, particularly in the field of management and leadership. And I did many different types of roles whilst in my insurance career, but things like... from front line, so account management, looking after brokers, large organisations, through to ending up as head of brand for a large insurance company. And throughout all of that, I guess the defining aspects of that were certainly working with people, problem solving, you know, thinking laterally about things, you know, trying to be innovative, trying to push some of the boundaries in terms of thinking about, you know, insurance is not the most exciting of subjects. So how else can we deliver this better for the customer? How else can we, you know, make this people understand why it's important, but also how can we make it easier? So, you know, if you think about insurance, you want it to go smoothly when you've got a problem. Mm. So that... and I worked a lot on product development and a lot on the marketing side. And as I said, ended up as head of brand, which was a really interesting role. But the biggest thing, I guess, for me, Sue, was being given opportunity and opportunity to try different things and being encouraged through that. And you know, some of that was tough. You know, you mm-hmm. learn a lot about yourself, but some of that was also really, really interesting.
And at the time, what were you... leaning towards in that sector?
So in terms of I was a generalist, really. So if you think about it, my background and my specialisms would be strategy, so you know, thinking about long-term development of products or services for an organization, brand. So but for me, the really interesting thing around the brand side was, how do you get employees in an organisation to really love the organisation that you're working with and for? So that was quite important. So the internal brand of an organisation and I guess the marketing of it, but authentic marketing. Mm-hmm. So I think we'd go through endless rounds of, you know, it's not about just saying it, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it and you've got to deliver it.
And how early on in your career were you called on to take more responsibility in your role? You've held director roles in brand and business consulting. You've been a non-executive director in your time as well. How early on were you given that level of responsibility or invited to step up to that level?
I guess I was very lucky, and because really right from an early age, you know, when I think about my first job, I was given quite a lot of responsibility early on. And, you know, that does make a difference, enabling people and trusting people. There were consequences, back to the conversation we were having earlier, for not getting it right. But being given that opportunity, I think, is really important. And I was lucky. I was very fortunate. I was well trained. I was well supported. And you know, this is sort of like in the 80s and early 90s. And if you think about the amount of training and development that organisations did give people, it was good.
Mm. But still less so than perhaps... companies and organisations invest in today, and that'll be part and parcel, I'm sure, of what we'll come on to talk about when it comes to customer service and being outward facing as an organisation particularly. Your next choice is Nirvana and Smells Like Teen Spirit. Why this one, Joe?
Okay, so this really reminds me of my wonderful husband, if I was totally honest, and being in Seattle and being in the tower, and there's the Rock Museum, and my husband and I having a bit of a laugh, wailing, I think is probably the best description, along to this song, and not realising, Sue, that we're being broadcast across the whole of the tower. So it was really good fun, and it to me is about energy again, spending time with people that you love.
Nirvana and Smells Like Teen Spirit on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio. Joe Corson joins us, Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And here, Joe, we'll leap forward significantly in your professional timeline and talk about what you do at the Institute. Whenever I hear the words customer service, there's a bit of me that thinks it's the Have a Nice Day Brigade. Mm. It's much deeper and further reaching, of course, than that. And it's, would you argue, a side of corporate life that so many organisations and smaller traders even perhaps fail to think about on occasion?
Absolutely, Sue. So in my, and it's a real privilege, by the way, to lead any organisation, but also to lead the Institute, because, you know, you have an opportunity, hopefully, through the work of your teams and what you're doing to try and make a difference, which is what you're really talking about. And what I have seen in the 8-9 years that I've been at the Institute is that more organisations, I think, are taking this more seriously, which is good. However, you know, customers, you and I, have less monies in our pockets. We're much more savvy. We're much more likely to complain. All good things, by the way. And the importance, I guess, that organisations are placing on this, in my mind now, and to your point about not seeing it as a pink and soft subject area, but as actually a really key commercial driver for the business, is really important.
Is the customer always right?
Absolutely not, is my honest answer to that. So the customer isn't always right. But the customer has rights, and also the customer has the right to being treated well. Where organisations get themselves into a bit of a mess, I think, is that they're not clear about what their purpose is and what their offer is. And that's the first step for me, you know, really right in the boardroom, designing and saying, what's our purpose and what does that mean for the customer? And then delivering that. And that sounds simple, Sue, but I understand more than most that, you know, delivering that consistently well is tough.
And do you think, again, that's where some companies, some organisations perhaps come unstuck? They might have the perfect product, the perfect service. They might know their market inside and out. They might have the fantastic branding position. They might have really, really great people in post, but they just don't know how to be with their customers in the general public. They don't know how to handle a complaint. They don't know even a lot of the time how to handle a compliment, maybe, or how to handle a suggestion, or how to include their audience, their customer base, in the further development of their own products and companies.
So again, there's some really interesting things in there. If I look at what's going on as customers, I mean, you've made a really important point, Sue. We want to have greater involvement in the development of products and services. So this whole thing about co-creating products and services is a growing area for us as customers. Authenticity is really important. So, you know, not just saying it, but delivering it. And accepting, you know, and I think customers and consumers, you and I do realize that organizations get it wrong. Absolutely. You know, not everyone is perfect. You cannot expect that. But how you handle that, you know, the graciousness that you say, I'm sorry, you know, recognizing when I look at what people complain about and what they want as a complaint resolution, it isn't another bunch of flowers. It isn't, you know, a voucher. It's to want to know that actually someone's listened to me and something will change as a result of that. And that's really powerful. So those organizations that are clear about what they're doing, their purpose, the reason, their rationale, focus on that and understand that. And then when they get it wrong, admit that they get it wrong and are authentic and genuine in that, are the ones that I think will be here in the longer term.
It seems to me that this area of business practice has changed dramatically since the coming of social media in particular, because it places companies so much more close to their audience and customer base, doesn't it? The method and the flow of communication between customer and company has changed through social media as well. It's also allowed, I would argue, a lot of companies, a lot of faceless corporations to appear a bit more human about who they are and what they do.
Yeah, so social media, really important channel, absolutely. But what is interesting is that even in the latest survey that we've undertaken, 2/3 of us are still wish to use what I would call traditional channels. So
write a letter, yeah, pick up the phone.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the important thing, I think, for any organisation is realising that you can't dictate the channel. And what I mean by that is you need to be able to offer a consistent experience across whichever channels that you are using. And I, as the customer, want to choose the channel that I use. Mm. And as I said, it's interesting that, you know, 2/3 of us still have a preference for using traditional channels.
And that's because we feel the need to talk to a human.
Mm.
We need to put a name on things.
Yeah, feel the need to talk to a human. Sometimes also follow that up. So, you know, we pop things in email so that we know that we've actually got a trail of our conversation. And also for some things, I mean, I was looking at some of the stuff around social media. What do we use social media for? Often it's for information. So it's not always about complaining. And actually, sometimes we don't want to complain in public. Mm. And would prefer not to. We often resort to going to the social media shouty complaint issue because we're not being listened to in the first place.
We'll delve even deeper in a moment or two with Joe Corson, who's with us on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio. Joe is Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And you're quite right, we're talking about customer service in general, not just the complaints department. We'll talk more after Louis Armstrong and What a Wonderful World. Tell us what lies behind choosing this one, Joe.
Well, Sue, I've probably already alluded to the importance, I think, of family, and I've been very lucky, but in particular, the importance of my dad. And every time I hear this song, it actually makes me quite tearful, but it also reminds me of what a great man he actually was.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew.
and I think to myself, what a wonderful moon.
Music from Louis Armstrong with What a Wonderful World. On this edition of Track Record on Share Radio, we welcome the Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service, Joe Corson. And in our previous conversation, Joe, we were slipping into that customer complaints territory, weren't we? But you're quite right to say that actually customer service isn't just about handling conversations when things aren't to the liking of the person who's bought that particular product or service. Actually, it's more general than that, isn't it?
Totally. So, I mean, why does customer service matter? Well, I'm really struck by some of our kind of data that 78%, 79% of GDP in the UK is services related. Nearly 70% of the workforce in the UK are in customer-related roles. So the whole subject area of service isn't just about servicing the customer. There's a whole economic and productive argument about why service is so important. And some of our research at the Institute is showing really strong correlations between organisations that believe this in the boardroom and are delivering it in the boardroom all the way across the organisation and their long-term performance. And in today's day and age, you know, we're living in a much more competitive world. We've got much more choice as customers and consumers, and we are, as we've already said, much more likely to vote with our feet. So the future for the UK, given Brexit and the world that we are living in, for me is absolutely really embracing the whole subject of service delivery.
With Brexit, I don't know what your members have been sharing with you. Have they hopes and fears and concerns about where we are moving generally with a UK that, as you rightly point out, is rather dominated by the service industry in particular now?
So, you know, we're very lucky at the Institute. We have over almost 500 organisations and we're pan-sector. So we have very large organisations and very large retailers, insurance companies, automotive. We have over 106 international organisations as part of the membership. And certainly in my conversations with members, I think the jury is out a little bit. I mean, we are, as we said, at the very early stages of negotiations. But there are some, I think, some real positives. I think there is a real sense that, you know, the UK, whether we had Brexit or not, you know, we have the ability to really compete on the level of service that we're giving. And in a world that is much more service orientated, why not? Why couldn't the UK really claim that prize of being the country that you expect and get delivered brilliant service in? You know, there's great opportunities if you think about in the short term, in terms of leisure and tourism. You know, what is certainly a challenge as customers, we've got less money in our pockets, the exchange rate, us not going abroad. So there's some local things in terms of sectors. There's much more, obviously, people visiting the UK in terms of holiday makers. There's a huge opportunity indeed because of the exchange rates there. So I think what I would say is, in my conversations, is there is a degree of worry, but I think there is in the wider world. But I think for those organisations, quite genuinely, that see service as a way to differentiate themselves, then actually they can see this as a really interesting platform. And to that point, you know, our research also shows, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, rubbish is what I would say, is about people focusing purely on price. Because our research shows that, you know, 28% of us as customers and consumers are prepared to pay considerably more for a service experience. So holding your nerve, I guess, Sue, is probably what I'd be saying. You know, and don't give up. You know, you've really got to be clear about delivering that service proposition.
You've also been looking at the Institute as to how widely customer service experience varies across the UK in particular, and we know that this is a small but a very varied aisle when it comes to its people and its places. Tell us some of the interesting points thrown up by that work.
So in the latest survey, and we've been doing the survey for over 9 years, so quite a long
time. Is this going to tell us that Northerners are more friendly and more open? And you get a better meal in a restaurant in Leeds than you would in London or some such?
Well, close, actually. The latest survey, what it does show is overall customer satisfaction is increasing, so that's good. There are some regional differences. They're not huge, but there are some regional differences. And Northern Ireland is top, actually, in terms of delivering great customer experiences. And the Southeast is bottom. So there is some differences between the two. And obviously, clearly, the question is why? Why do we see those variations? And I guess it will be dependent on the different types of sectors in those. So high-performing sectors are retail sectors, leisure and tourism sectors. Towards the bottom, transport, utilities and telcos, so telecommunications sectors, are the least well-performing. So where you get more of those industry sectors, that will have an impact regionally. And also, I suspect, where we have less time, or we're a bit too pressured on time, I'm sure that has an impact. We're running around like mad busy bees all the time. Perhaps we don't actually give as much nod to the customer experience that we should have. I mean, this morning on my way over here, I had a brilliant customer experience on the tube, just from the point of view that, we were going to be delayed. But the driver added some humour in here. He talked to us, and you could see people visibly on the tube relax a little bit. Nobody wants to be late. Yep. But actually, it was a human interaction. It wasn't just a tutting and rolling of your eyes and we're going to be held up here for another X, Y and Z amount of time.
And something like that, something that's an icebreaker, underlines the point that it's not the driver's fault. It's beyond their control. And sometimes we do lose a bit of sight of that. We can get terribly personal, can't we? Yeah. When we've got an issue with an organisation, taking it out on the person who picks up the phone or the person who's on the other end of the email. And we forget that perhaps organisations are made up of a collective of all kinds of individuals. And it's not their fault, personally.
Really important point. And often we do personalise things deeply, and actually it isn't their person's fault. Or, however, it is the organisation's fault, because then it's about trying to really, overuse word here, empower, but ensure that the person that is trying to deal with the issue is allowed to do that. But there is a way of doing that, and sometimes when you say no, how you say no is really, really important. So. It is about not being personal, but it is about making sure people have got the skills that they need to deal with the issue.
I feel we'll have a conversation soon that touches on psychology, amongst other things as well. Jo Corson is with us, Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service, on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio. And your next choice, Jo, T-Rex, I Like to Boogie. Why this one?
Okay, so again, really fun song. Reminds me of happy days. It also reminds of me, my sister will kill me for this, but remembering my sister dancing very energetically to this song. So again, happy memories.
We love to boogie.
Jo Corson joins us on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio, and of her chosen tracks, that's the latest, T-Rex and I Like to Boogie. Now, Jo, you've worked in the financial services sector, you've worked in insurance, you were telling us, long before you joined the Institute back in 2009. Can you identify where along your own career path you got interested in this area?
So I think probably right at the beginning. Mm. So if I think about my first proper job after graduating and going on the, you know, the training programs, etc., was to look after a territory as an account manager. So I had customers. Mm. And, you know, I was very struck by it's about relationships. You know, it's not about the transaction. It's not about the process. It's about building a genuine rapport with your customer and understanding their point of view. You know, you don't have to agree on everything, but actually if you can at least demonstrate that you understand their position, then you've got some way to ground a decent relationship. And at the end of the day, we're based on relationships.
Were you good back then at talking people down from the edge, reining in emotion and getting people towards a place where you could have a reasoned conversation about the nature of their complaint or issue?
I would like to think I was reasonable at it. Yeah,
because I fancy you're quite a good negotiator.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, going back to, you know, everything is about negotiation. You know, everything is about understanding the other person's point of view and your point of view and trying to get to a good position for both parties. And I think that is really important, but also about being genuine. So, you know, being really clear. Most times things get confused or difficult when people are not clear. So what's movable and what's not? Yeah, and I guess, Sue, I've probably been known for being fairly direct about that. Not rude about it, but direct about, well, these are my parameters and those are your parameters. Let's find some common ground. Mm.
Who did you learn from along the way, Joe? I believe that whatever you work in, whatever your business or interests, along the way, there are people who've been just so invaluable, who've provided great counsel, who've been terrific mentors. They've been a great leader in their position, showing you the way. Are there people who you would cite have done that throughout your career?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I alluded to, I've been very, very fortunate. I've worked for some really great people. You know, and right from early days, you know, certainly my family were very influential in terms of sense of justice and fairness and on all of those things, and being clear about, you know, how you kind of do things. But also, if I think about people that I've had the opportunity to work with, you know, both early on and also in latter stages, you know, people I admire are people who are very clear, very fair. Don't necessarily have to be the most vociferous, but, you know, make you think, make you really, really think about something. And I have been very lucky, so that I have worked for managers and leaders in that case. And I've also met, you know, in my role now, I have the opportunity to meet some fabulous people and, you know, who are trying to deal with some fairly challenging things. And you know, I'm always humbled. Mm. You know, by the opportunity to meet with those and kind of think about what they're trying to do and how you make that difference.
What other sectors are you personally interested in, away from customer service? Do you still keep an eye on what's happening in, say, the insurance industry and financial services sector, for example? Again, whatever our line of work, whatever our company strategy, whatever we make, whatever we sell, sometimes it's good to just look across and see what other people in other sectors are doing.
Totally. And you know, learning from outside a sector, I think, is really, really important. And you know, I have a very good friend who I admire and respect deeply, who's a chief executive of a very large organisation. And I remember saying to him once, "How do you go to learn?" And he said, "I go to conferences which are completely unrelated to my own subject area." And he said, "And I just sit there and I listen to it and I think, okay."
Well, he picks a subject and goes and immerses himself in it.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Yeah, it's a totally different way of kind of thinking about things, because we get a bit fixated on our own little world and our own little kind of focus. And the good thing about what I do is that, you know, I am lucky enough to see lots of different industry sectors and to see different positions, innovations on those. So, yeah, lifting yourself out of your own sector, your own kind of issues and challenges, I think is really important.
And are you at a position now, Joe, where you can give back, where you can mentor, you can encourage, you can lead by example? People are coming up either at the Institute or again in other sectors. I think it's crucial when we get to that point in our careers that we're able to do that with people who are building their own careers.
I certainly hope so. You know, I think one of the big things about being a leader is trying to be a bit more humble and trying to demonstrate a bit of humility. And you know, I would hope that you know people inside my own organisation feel very comfortable with raising anything, and hope that they feel that they have that opportunity to, you know, to do that. But you can always do more, you know. And you know, I think one of the biggest things that great, you know, if I look at great leaders or whatever, they constantly challenge themselves, and constantly thinking about actually that wasn't good enough. And I think that is quite important, because that stops you from. From believing your own hype, I guess, is probably an important thing. So what do I feel? I feel that I do some of that well, but I could still do better.
Your next track record choice comes from Oasis. It's Don't Look Back in Anger. I place this in the middle to late 1990s or thereabouts, Joe. Mm-hmm. Tell us why it makes your list.
It makes my list because I think it's really important. You know, you get one shot at this. And I think you can always reflect, you can always learn, you can always do things better. But actually, don't blame the past, don't look back in anger, you know, focus on on going forward.
Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play?
From Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. Joe Corson is with us on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio. She's Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And Joe, I imagine day to day, week to week, you've got a fantastically full inbox and always got projects and stuff on the go. How good are you at shutting the laptop occasionally, switching the phone off and walking away?
Okay, so I could preach to you from every management and leadership.
You're going to tell me how important it is to do that, but admit that perhaps you don't do it quite so frequently.
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah, precisely. So I think the reality, we all know what we should be doing. I think if I was allowed to let myself a little bit, you know, customer service, you are always on because it's always, mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. see it.
Because we're always shopping, we're always on public transport. Social media is riddled with these kind of conversations, aren't they?
And I do think, and I think this is quite an important thing, and it's not for everyone, but, you know, in today's day and age, you know, we used to talk about work-life balance. I talk about work-life integration. So, you know, okay, you know, if you're privileged enough to have a responsible role, whatever that actually is, then you've got a responsibility to that. You also have a responsibility to other things, so your family, your friends, other things that make you tick and are really important to you, and you are important to them. So my balance is, if I'm constantly missing dinner with a friend, or I'm constantly turning up late, or I'm constantly saying, I'll get to that, or I'll get to you, or whatever, that's not good enough. If, however, I can balance that and accept that sometimes it doesn't always happen as the way that it should do. So it's like having an internal barometer, and also having people around you that love you that say, enough. And I'm very fortunate because I do have that network when people will kind of call it for me, and you have to listen to that.
People who literally push a lever and say halt.
Absolutely.
So on those moments when the laptop is shut and you're off enjoying yourself with the family, what do you do to chill out, to forget corporate life a little?
Okay, probably, you know, I don't know whether this is boring or not really in terms of, but and I love to travel. So, you know, traveling, experiencing different bits of cultures and worlds, and I'm a big fan of food, so I like food and decent wine. I love to walk. And, you know, I'm known for probably dragging my poor husband around walking in the middle of the night sometimes, you know, because you get to see, particularly in London, a completely different side of the city. So, but spending time with people.
On with your track record choices. On the list, Joe is Queen with Don't Stop Me Now. Why this one?
So Don't Stop Me Now, probably because, again, hugely, I'm getting very repetitive here, but energy, drive, anything is possible. And, you know, don't stop me. You know, this is exciting. This is thrilling. This is all of those things. And it's a great song just to jump around to as well.
Tonight I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Queen with Don't Stop Me Now. Jo Corson is with us. She is Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And just on that track, on Don't Stop Me Now, on having verve and vigour and vim and determination in life, you sound like the kind of person, Jo, who thinks that sheer energy drives you far. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. I think that, well, you can either be half full or half empty. And I think that, you know, I was always taught that it's much better to try and build on rather than detract. So energy and working with people that are high energy, a positive energy, is such a nicer place than working with people that are negative. Mm-hmm. So energy, you know, I do think, and channeling it, you know, appropriately is very important.
You've hinted that you've come across people in very senior roles who are never quite happy or always maybe slightly doubtful of their ability and always willing to see that nothing is ever 100% perfect. Is that perspective also very important as well, both for one's own personal career, but also for the development of whatever job you're in, of whatever sector you're in?
Completely. I think, you know, anybody who doesn't express some self-doubt or... you know, you're not being honest. And, you know, I do think that is really, really important. Not to, for that to become obsessional. You know, if you're going to lead something, you've got to believe it and you've got to have determination. But you have still got to be able to reflect and realise when that wasn't quite as good as it should be.
So it's been 8 years at the Institute of Customer Service, and we've touched on social media changing the customer service landscape, arguably, hopefully for the better. But what else do you see has been a significant change in that time? I think we as customers are perhaps demanding a little bit more. We're perhaps a bit more clear on channels of communication, maybe. But I asked you at the outset, is the customer always right? And you said, no, not always. And there's a bit of responsibility on us as the general public to be realistic, maybe.
Absolutely. So we've seen a huge amount of change. I guess the biggest thing is that pace of change. Mm. So it might be not be that there are lots of things that are different, but the speed of things. And if you think also, without getting too philosophical, I think the outside world is impacting more on us in our jobs and how we're feeling about things. So, you know, the link between employee engagement and customer satisfaction has always been important, but probably even more important. Mm. So how do I motivate, lead and develop my people, but also individuals, you know, as employees, we, you know, what's important to us might be different to what was important to us a few years ago. Mm. And so that's quite a big change, and that plays out therefore in terms of the customer. And I guess going forwards, probably some of the biggest changes will be artificial intelligence, the role of robotics, and how that is going to grow and develop. Because for me, Sue, there's a lot of rubbish talked about this. People seem to think that, you know, all customer service roles will disappear because we'll be replaced by the robot. Well, I don't see that. You know, I see that a lot of transactional activity will disappear, which actually is boring and dull and isn't really great customer experiences, which should, you know, enable us to spend our time and energies on, you know, creating, you know, really interesting interfaces with customers and far more enjoyable work.
And of course, we're always on, aren't we? We're in a 24-hour society, and even the smallest of businesses who operate, say, a Facebook site or an online shopping page, something like that, always on, always ready to receive that email, that order, or that complaint, or that suggestion, or whatever it is. Again, it comes back to our expectation that if we fire off a missive at 3:30 in the morning, we're kind of expected it to be expecting it to be resolved and addressed by 4 a.m. aren't we? Doesn't always work like that.
No, it doesn't. And actually, I think, you know, I mean, you hinted at this, Sue, about the responsibilities of an organisation, and absolutely there are huge responsibilities for an organisation, but also us as individuals taking responsibility. So, you know, shouting and bawling at somebody down the phone is not a way to complain. I think thinking about when you have an issue or a challenge and thinking about how do I complain in the right way, I think that is quite important. You know, we've already talked about it's not the individual's fault. So expectations have definitely increased, and therefore delivering a great customer experience, it doesn't really matter what industry sector you are in. You know, it is a requirement, I guess.
Let's hear your next track record choice. Pharrell Williams with Happy. Keeping it light and keeping it bubbly. Why this one, Joe?
Probably exactly that, Sue, because I think sometimes, you know, when you are trying to do the right thing, sometimes when you are very focused, you know, you can be quite intense. And I would probably argue that, you know, having an antidote to that and having a laugh sometimes and just having, and maybe not taking yourself quite so seriously, is actually quite important. And sometimes I have to remember that myself.
Happy. You're listening to Track Record on Share Radio with Joe Corson, who's joined us on this edition. Joe is Chief Executive at the Institute of Customer Service. And we're almost at the end of the conversation and proceedings, Joe. 8 years at the Institute now. Can I press you a little on ambitions in the future? What's left in your own personal development? Are there areas you'd like to explore, maybe?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, never stop learning, do you? So, I mean, and I've still got plenty to learn and plenty of growth. So I think, you know, absolutely, I'd hope that I would constantly learn. I think, too, you know, as we said, the world that we're working in, whatever industry sector we are in, is incredibly challenging at the moment. And helping to navigate that, I think, is something that is really, really important. So I certainly don't know everything. I've still got plenty to learn. Industry sectors wise, I guess a sector that I am particularly drawn to just generally is probably about how we are looking after our elderly and how we're looking, you know, to creating that kind of environment that is good. You know, my team will always know or always laugh at me that, you know, I get a bit obsessed with, it's not about age, it's about, you know, dealing with the whole and the person as a whole, whatever kind of age it is. So for me, I think it's about keeping on this and keeping on the focus around, but particularly around the focus about a purpose of an organisation, and then really just asking yourself, what's the purpose and am I delivering to it and how am I doing that?
Keep the questions coming, AJ.
Mm.
Keep the questions coming. It's been a real privilege and a pleasure to have spoken to you on this edition of Track Record. Thank you for being our guest this week. And you leave us with Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody. So many people cite this as a favourite. Tell me why it's made your list.
Okay, it's made my list because it reminds me of a very long trip in a Renault Clio with five of us to Scotland when I was in university.
Joe Corson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a good boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. To me.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, you cry if I'm not back again this time.
little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah,
no, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let me go.
We'll not let you go.
Let me go.
We'll not let you go.
Let me go.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me.
Track Record with Sue Dugan.